The message was, no strangers allowed. And the first thing I want to ask, did anybody leave? I hope not. That was more or less how not to worship, how not to sing and worship. And obviously, we don't sing that way. But I thought it was an interesting way to get you all awake, if nothing else. Where are we? Who are we praising? We're praising ourselves or we're praising God. Obviously, we're here to praise God. I do want you to know, though, I think that some people don't really realize what kind of impression we leave with others, and most especially someone that's just been here for the first time, maybe the second time. And honestly, I want to tell you a story about going on, and myself and 20 of my closest friends here at church went to Israel. And some of us even came back. But no, on that trip, there were at least two or three people that I've known for a number of years, and that's very wonderful, that to have them to come up and say to me sometime during the trip, or maybe it was afterwards, they said, you know, I didn't realize you could be so much fun. Well, I thought that was kind of strange. I thought I was fun all the time. But it just goes to show that when you don't know someone, you can really come off as strange. And I often wonder if I've got this, you know, thing on my forehead that, you know, newcomers come in and I've got this thing that goes, stranger alert, stranger alert. You know, think about that. When you've come into this church just like I did a number of years ago for the first time, it can be upsetting. Now, obviously, that was a spoof. And you heard at the end, the pastor finally saying, just give them a hand and they'll shut up, you know. So that was merely something to get your attention, to let you know that we should be welcoming strangers because Christ welcomes everyone. Hallelujah. All right. So as much as I don't enjoy getting serious, I'll try. So the title of today's sermon is, or lesson, is No Strangers Allowed. Now, you can't get much over the top more than what that clip is as far as I'm concerned. But our worship is very blended. We try to include everybody, most especially in music. We try to include different denominational things that will enhance our service and will hopefully you can find something in there that you connect with what maybe you were brought up to be. I was brought up a Baptist. I can recognize a lot of the songs. I don't always recognize communion because we weren't as familiar with that and it wasn't as frequent. But you know, I've come to love every little thing about this church, no matter what it is. Because I know that even though I might not be acquainted with everything, there's somebody out there that is. And it's very, very dear to their hearts. And that's all that matters. Not what I feel about every little thing, but what everyone finds in this service that they can welcome into their heart. So, each person here today, I have to remind you that because we do have newcomers and we do have people that I don't call them strangers, but yes, they are strangers to this church, and you do in some way need to make them feel welcome. If we're not careful, a lot of times we get busy. We get busy before church talking to people that we know or maybe just trying to get here. And during service, we're busy worshiping, which is as it should be. And then when it's over, we're trying to plan with our friends and our group of people where we're going to have brunch or lunch or whatever you call it. So you get busy then too. Now, I know that some of you are sitting back there thinking, well, we have a ministry for welcoming people, right? It's called the Newcomers Ministry. Well, I got news for you, folks. Every one of you are a member of that ministry. Okay? All right. It's easy to put it off on a ministry. You know, we got a ministry for that. We got a ministry for that. But it takes all of us. You know, there's an old saying, it takes a town to raise a child. It takes the whole congregation to build a church. Hear me on that. It takes the whole congregation. It takes all of us to build this church. And I think we all belong into that group that should be welcoming others. If you aren't, try it. You can meet a lot of wonderful people. I know we're all busy on Sundays. I understand that. But if you see somebody running around with a blue or a red name tag with their printed on there, you know, I've done that, and I've had people say, oh, I've been here for several weeks. Great. I'm glad you're coming back. Don't feel bad about it if you missed somebody. At least you can carry on a conversation with them. And how are we ever going to help people know how our strangers, the people that come in for the first time, know what our church is like if we don't at least welcome them to begin with? Today's scripture is a reading from Paul. It's a letter written around 60 AD. See, I do a little research. And it's to the church, obviously, at Ephesus. It's probably written from prison, and it was meant for what was mostly Gentiles. Ephesians is full of Paul proclaiming that Gentiles are right up there side by side with Christ. So Christ cares for both Jews and left behind. Now, have you ever seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. The daughter, it's a story about the daughter in a Greek family struggling somehow to create her own life. And what we learn is that the father, whose name is Gus, is not just Greek, but he is extremely fanatically Greek. The house is modeled after the Parthenon, has Corinthian columns, and there's a garage door that has a life-size Greek flag. You can't get more Greek than that. So Gus believes that there are only two kinds of people in this world. In his mind, I believe that he thinks there are those that are Greek and those who wish they were Greek. Sound familiar? So when the daughter falls in love with a young man by the name of Ian, who is in no way, shape, or form Greek, you can imagine how warm and fuzzy Gus feels. He's really upset that she doesn't want to marry a nice Greek boy. Instead, she wants to marry what Gus terms as a Xena. Now, his name is Ian, and he's a Xena. He has long hairs on top of his head. He's a stranger. The word Xena creates the word xenophobia, which means a dislike of people who are seen as different. Okay? Well, in ancient times and sometimes today, people of a particular ethnicity or nationality believed that those of another were barbarian. You see, they're not like us. They're not like those people. They're not so much so, I would say, that if you're not one of us, they were thinking, then you're a stranger to us. Simple enough. You're not welcome, in other words. Now, I think that you and I, in today's world, pride ourselves on being probably quite modern and quite advanced. But I feel sure that at some particular time that same behavior pops its ugly head in places in the most inopportune times. There's a statement, and I want you to fill in the blank, and I know you can. It says, if you are not, you fill in the blank, then you are not one of us. It could be rich. It could be poor. It could be handicapped. It could be straight. It could be gay. But at some time, I just bet that if you haven't said it out loud, it's gone through your mind. But the good news is, and there's always good news, by the way, that as people who try hard, I believe, to follow Christ, we're taught that all the barriers have been destroyed, the ones between heaven and earth, as well as the ones that we try to build around ourselves. And we do. Because we think we're so unique. Really? No, You know, that we do get involved with our lives so much that we forget that people don't all live the same way we do. Not good or bad, it's just a matter of we all don't live the same. So people are different. Hallelujah. I'm glad of that. I know that each and every one of us believe in the cross, that we worship at the cross. And I love the cross. I think it's marvelous, you know, with the outstretched beams. To me, it covers everything above us. It covers everything below us. And it covers everything around us. That's what that cross means to me. I think part of believing in the cross and worshiping at the cross, it's a place where all people are taken in. It's where all strangers are welcome. No one is outside the love of Christ. We're all equal in Christ's view. Now, that's really hard for some of us to get, isn't it? Because I think some of us believe that we have a little bit, you know, more in with Christ than others. Well, I've learned real quick that I don't know about the rest of you. But we do know that our love for Christ shows when we welcome one another, when we make other people feel comfortable, when we're kind to one another. When I was talking about welcoming, too, I want you to know that I don't just mean saying, go have a bagel and a cookie. You know, I love the bagels and cookies, don't misunderstand. But that's just a reception. The time of installing people and bringing people in and letting them know that we care about them is whenever you can talk to them while they're having that coffee. You need to help them to experience God's grace and mercy through your welcoming. The love that Christ has given to us can only be shared with them through what we can do and say to help them feel welcome. It's kind of like, you know, Cheers. You remember Cheers? I want to go where everybody knows my name. I always liked that show. I don't want anybody to be a stranger here. I really don't. I want everyone to feel welcome. I want everyone who comes to worship with us to know that this can be their church. They are welcome here. Now, one of the last important things of information I found, and this was in researching, in a commentary by Barclay, and his comments on Paul's picture of the church. We do have to cover a little bit on the Bible, you know. Paul's picture on the church stresses. You know, sometimes I get like Candace does. She said, now, where was I? Sometimes you just get off on your own stories and you forget, but we'll get, that's why we have notes, isn't it, Brad? Yeah, okay. Anyway, Paul's comments about the church as he sees it stresses that the world is not what it was meant to be. And we can agree with that, I think. It's torn apart by opposing forces, bitter conflicts, nation against nation, neighbor against neighbor, class against class. Inside each one of us is opposition and good. I don't want to say good and bad. I just want to say opposition forces and good. But Paul writes in that 20th verse of the day's scripture, and he says, now, to God who by the power at work within us, remember that, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And at the end he says, amen. What a prayer. God who by the power of work within us. That's what catches me out of that verse. It says it's God's desire to me that all people in all nations become one in Christ. Now to achieve this, Christ needs us, this church, all of us, to share that love that we have, that Christ has given to us, and all that grace and mercy that each of us have seen in our lives. We do know that when we experience Christ's grace and hope, that when that happens in our hearts, that we are no longer strangers to one another. At least I hope not. John Wesley, and you've heard that name a few times because of Reverend Candace, founder of the Methodist denomination, says, and I quote, "God knows nothing of solitary religion. No one ever went to heaven alone. Church, any church, may have faults, and they're far from perfect. But in the fellowship of church, we find the love of God. And I say, in the fellowship of King of Peace, we find the infinite love of Christ. In this space, here in this church, here today, we are in God's house of worship. This is where we can find that love in our hearts that will keep us going forward, welcoming others, welcoming one another. So as we leave this place, keep this in your mind. We have it in our hearts. We can get it in our heads. Welcome and love one another." And all the people said,
"Amen."